I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. How ironic that I'm surrounded by naked people, and I'm admiring the decor and ambiance. Jessie acknowledges numerous naked people as we make our way through the room, the women swooning and straightening their backs when they spot his presence, even though he has a firm hold of my hand. I feel so out of place, mainly because I'm fully dressed. I look up at him and see how unperturbed he is by the surroundings. Why would he be? This is normal for him. Unfolding before my eyes are various scenes, all of which muddle my mind, but at the same time totally captivate me. It's difficult not to look. He glances down at me and smiles, giving my hand a little squeeze. "Okay?" he asks, as he comes to a stop and turns to face me. I nod and offer him a small smile and look down at our joined hands when I feel him run his thumb over the top of mine. He has literally drawn all of the anxiety out of me with his touch, and as I gaze back up at him, I find his eyes are watching our hands too. He continues to smooth his thumb over my skin as he turns to face a young woman who is probably late 20s and trussed up on a suspended frame, just like the one in the extension. She's blindfolded with black satin, and her mouth is slightly agape. A man, naked from the waist up, with his legs slightly spread, stands before her holding a crop in his hand. The look in his eyes is one of pure lust and appreciation, as he slowly, deliberately, traces the curves of her breasts with the tip. She's rippling under its touch. Jessie's hand shifts slightly in mine, and I look up at him, but his gaze is set firmly on the scene before us. I return my eyes to the bound woman as the man slowly draws the crop down her front, between her breasts, and toward her abdomen, circling the tip around her belly button in meticulous, measured movements. She's whimpering. I shift on my heels, and Jessie flicks me a curious glance, but I ignore him and watch as the man continues his descent until the crop meets the juncture of her thighs, and as she lets out a loud moan, he crashes his mouth against hers to swallow her sounds. He discards the crop and replaces it with his fingers, separating her and beginning a slow friction up and down, building up her pleasure and her moans. Her body arches, pulling the restraints that are holding her hand secure to the frame, a signal that she's close. I'm sweating, feeling slightly claustrophobic, and my heart rate has accelerated further. Her partner responds to her sounds by speeding up his strokes and hardening his kiss, the sound of tongues knotting and dueling becoming desperate, and in one stifled cry, she reaches climax, and her body holds the bonds rigid as he slows his strokes down to work every last bit of pleasure from her. She slumps, dropping her chin to her chest. I involuntarily gasp, feeling Jessie's hand squeeze mine in agreement. This is intense, and I'm surprised by it all. We're not the only ones watching the erotic scene in front of us. It has captured the interest of quite a few people who have gathered around the couple. I look around and recognize various people from the bar and dinner, except now they are all semi-clothed or naked. You have to be bloody confident to frequent the communal room. Jessie tugs my hand to get my attention. I look up at him, but he just nods toward the scene, and I look to find the man kissing her in gratitude. He recovers the crop from the floor and saunters slowly around to the back of her, dragging it on the floor as he goes. She's blind to his movements, but her sudden awareness is apparent as her body solidifies and she raises her head, panting. He starts to stroke her back, running his fingertips up and down the center of her spine and then down to the cheeks of her backside. She hums in satisfaction, and I think I might have as well. I feel Jesse's eyes on me. He heard me, too. He caresses her perfect, firm cheeks, rubbing and kneading with the palm of his hand, and he groans as she arches her back and loosens again. After a few minutes of manipulating and stroking her pert bum, he withdraws his hand, and I see the woman tense. She knows what's coming. I know what's coming. Jesse's increased pressure around my hand confirms it too, but I can't drag my eyes away. He raises the crop, and in one hard, fast stroke, he brings it down to meet one of her cheeks. She cries out, and I flinch at the sharp snap, turning my head away from the scene and into the hard vastness of Jesse's chest. Before I'm aware, his free hand is cradling my head, pushing my face into his shoulder and pulling me closer to his body. The pressure of his hand around mine increases further as I hear another crack. My hand is released, and he wraps his arm around my back to join his other, my own arms bunched up in between our torsos. I'm completely cocooned by his body, and despite my surroundings and what is taking place in it, this is the most comforting place I have ever been. "This is not your thing. Let's move on," he whispers in my ear. Move on to what? Will that be my thing? I resent the exposure when Jesse releases me from his body, hearing the crack of the crop again and again as I let him take my hand and lead me away. I snap my eyes shut each time, holding my breath. I can't grasp what I've just witnessed. But then, I remember being handcuffed, and Jesse's heart slaps across my backside as he slammed into me. I'm not even going to pretend I didn't enjoy my retribution, fuck. "What is this music?" I ask as we round a corner and approach a group of people. He looks down at me with a smile. "Enigma. Is it making you horny?" "No," I scoff. "It is. All of this is. But I'm not going to admit it, although my finger twiddling wildly in my hair is a dead giveaway." He laughs and bats my hand down as he stops me in front of one woman and three men. Jesse bends his body so our eyes are level. "Just for the record, none of this will ever happen with us." I look at him and he winks. It's bitterly endearing, and I'm grateful for the clarification because I wouldn't share him either. "What about the other stuff?" I try to sound casual and not hopeful. I think I pull it off. His eyes snap to mine. "I don't share you with anyone, Ava. Not even their eyes." He sounds affronted and I smile. But I didn't mean in here specifically. "There are private suites." Bloody hell. What's gotten into me? I turn my attention back to the scene before us. A woman is laid out on a cushioned fur throw, her hands bound loosely with a strip of soft leather. Her eyes flick to Jesse's, and she licks her lips. I actually let out a little laugh at her shamelessness. Not another one. She is completely naked, and her eyes are full of want as she drags her stare from Jesse and diverts it to the three naked men looming over her. She wants Jesse too, and I'm certain that what I'm about to see is going to be for his benefit. The three men all take position, kneeling at various places around her strewn body and placing their hands on her in different positions. None of them go for the same area. They all know their place on her body. One slowly lowers his head to her breast and begins swirling his tongue around one of her nipples, bringing it to a stiff peak, before sealing his mouth around her areola and sucking while massaging the mound under his mouth. Another man, is performing the same sensual routine on her other breast, working in unison with his fellow member, like they know how best to pleasure her. The woman's answering sighs and exhalations suggest they are succeeding in their endeavours. I can't help my own nipples tingling and puckering as I shift on the spot, feeling Jesse's eyes on me. I look up at him, and he quickly looks away, but he has a smirk tipping the corners of his lips. He knows I'm affected. I cringe and look back to the scene, willing my body to behave. Now the third man has joined in and is stroking and rubbing between her thighs. The slickness of her is making his fingers slide with ease over the outer edges of her entrance. He withdraws his hand to reach up and run his wet fingers across her bottom lip, and her tongue darts out, lapping up the wetness. His fingers fall to her chin and then begin a slow trail down the center of her body before reaching her sex. She bucks in response to his touch, letting out a cry of frustration as he removes his hand and lays his free arm across her stomach to prevent her movements. Then he plunges two fingers into her, smiling at her attempts to struggle free. I'm watching, completely rapt, as she laps up the attention with intermittent moans, telling them they are making her a very happy woman. I'm shocked to feel hugely turned on. She's being showered with attention from these men, and their only pleasure is her pleasure. I know Jesse's eyes are on me again. I can't look at him. Just then, the guy at her thighs nods to the two men on her breasts, a silent signal, and they all release her from their touch. She yells at the loss of contact, but then cries out as her legs are pushed up, her knees parted, and a mouth is slammed on her swelling folds. I cross my legs as I stand, then feel Jesse's hand relax around mine before squeezing hard. Another of the men takes her mouth in a greedy claim, while the last man goes back to her breasts. His hands cup both mounds, teasing and petting, while his tongue runs a trail between them, before he finally divides the attention of his tongue between both of them at steady interludes. Each of the men frequently gaze up to her face, and each time they are rewarded with a look of pure satisfaction, which seems to embolden them. She's being worshipped by three magnificent males, and you would have to be a nun for it not to turn you on. Swiftly, her body noticeably tenses, a visual display that she's about to orgasm. I tense on the spot, too. The attention increases as they get the signal she is close, and everything suddenly becomes urgent. The man, at her mouth, catches her moans with his hard kiss, and her knees spread farther to give the man between her thighs better access. They are working as a team, building her up for explosion. And then she falls apart on a loud cry that is only slightly stifled by one male's mouth. They work her through her orgasm, slowing the friction and speed of their strokes and licks. She relaxes and goes quiet as the men return to gently caressing her body with their mouths and hands. The man at her mouth releases her lips and reaches up to unbind her hands from the leather bond. He smiles as she rubs her wrists lightly, and after a few minutes, she stretches out on the first row, her action symbolic of satisfaction personified. Her gaze falls on Jesse again. I shake my head in disbelief. Does she want to stand up and take a bow? Despite her brashness, though, it was pretty incredible, and I was enthralled. But now I've got the inevitable niggling feeling of inadequacy. Jesse has been up here. He has done these things, and he has done it with plenty of women, some of whom are in this room. How many, and to what extent? I suddenly feel the flex of Jesse's hand between mine and realize that I have a vice hold on him. I gaze up at him and loosen my grip. He's watching me carefully, trying to work out my thoughts, and then he turns his full body to face me and takes my other hand. "You're not an exhibitionist, Ava, and I love you all the more for it. You are mine, and mine only, and I am only yours. Do you understand me?" His voice is laced with concern. He knew what I was thinking. My bones turn to mush, my heart misses too many beats, and I stagger forward slightly. He pulls me into him, my forehead meeting his shoulder. He is solid and warm, and all mine. "Fucking hell," he whispers on a deep breath. "I can't tell you how much I love you." He kisses the top of my head. "Come on, I want to dance with you." He breaks away and tucks me under his arm to head for the door. After watching all of that, he wants to dance with me? He leans down. "I bet if I checked, you'd be wet." My breath catches, and I hear him laugh quietly. "Only for me," he reminds me. Not that I need reminding. I glance over my shoulder and come to an abrupt, shocked halt, watching as the woman is flipped over onto her hands and knees, and one man slams into the back of her as another one of the men kneels in front of her. He thrusts himself straight into her mouth, silencing her shocked yelps. My eyes widen at the sudden change in approach. They both pump into her, one at each end of her body, and the third man starts circling the kneeling mass of bodies. What the hell is he going to do? I watch as the third man collects something from the nearby cabinet and then lowers himself to the floor on his knees at the back of her. The other man pulls out and spreads her cheeks, giving him access to her arse. I need to walk away. I need to leave now. But I'm transfixed as I watch him insert something. I have no idea what, but it's big, and it's only half submerged when he's finished. I can't rip my eyes away. He then leaves to allow the other man to re-enter her on a yell before he positions himself on his back under the woman. He grabs a breast with one hand, lifts his head, and takes the other in his mouth, and then wraps his spare hand around his cock. Oh, good Lord. I feel Jesse tug my hand, and I look up at him, finding a cautious face. There must be no denying the look on mine. Please don't tell me he has done this sort of stuff. Come on. You've seen enough. He pulls me toward the doors that will take me away from all of this. Jesus, the reality of this place has just slammed right into my poor innocent brain. Jesse! Don't, Ava. He shakes his head without looking at me. He knows what I'm thinking. The inadequacy has returned harder, more forcefully than before. I just need you. Have... I said don't, he repeats, still refusing to look at me. I choose not to push it. I can't think of Jesse like that. As we reach the door, Natasha intercepts our escape. She's naked, except for a microscopic pair of satin knickers, her boobs jiggling all over the place as she comes to a stop in front of us. I don't know where to look. You're a bit overdressed, Jesse, she purrs. After what I've just endured, this is a surefire way to tip me over the edge. I could slap her. My hand balls into a fist, and my jaw tenses, but Jesse diverts us, taking us around to the side. Have some fucking respect, Natasha, he snaps. My simmering anger transforms into smugness at Jesse's curt retort as we leave the communal room and an undoubtedly sour-faced Natasha behind. I would like to send a memo, too. I say sardonically as he guides me down the stairs.
Whatever you want, Ava.
He laughs as we approach the bar.
Do you want a drink?
Please. I'm trying not to sound hurt, but I know I'm failing miserably. I'll never be able to wipe those sights from my mind. But I don't see strange men up there kneeling or pleasuring. All I see is Jesse. I feel sick, but I asked for it. He's looking at me thoughtfully, and I can tell he's regretting taking me up there, too.
You want me to be more open, he says quietly.
He's right, and I'm regretting that. I never want to go up there again.
Then you won't,
he answers immediately. And I never want you to go up there either. I'm being unreasonable by asking him to avoid the epicenter of his business. He studies me carefully.
I've no need to go up there. Everything I need is standing within touching distance, and I plan on keeping her that close.
I nod my head, my eyes darting across his body.
Thank you,
I say quietly, feeling guilty for making such a demand, and even guiltier that he submitted with no questions, arguments, or challenging. He pushes my hair from my face gently.
You find Kate, and I'll get the drinks.
Okay.
Go.
He turns me around, sending me on my way. I make my way through to the summer room, finding the dance floor is busy, and I spy Kate immediately, her red hair a beacon in the crowd. I step onto the dance floor as Otis Redding's Love Man kicks in, and Kate screams, thrilled at my arrival and the track.
Where have you been? She yells over the music.
A tour of the communal room, I shrug, but then the hideous thought of Kate up there stamps all over my mind. Oh, God, no. Her big blues widen in astonishment, and then her pale face breaks out in a big grin. This does not assist in ridding my head of such unbearably awful thoughts. She grabs my hand, and I grasp my dress so I can join her. Sam and Drew are very well oiled and performing some pretty criminal moves as they attract the attention of many women on the dance floor, but Kate doesn't seem to mind. She keeps her hand in mine and rolls her eyes at her wayward fellow and his cheeky grin. She is as laid back and unthreatened as ever, but Sam, it would seem, is not so. He soon yanks her away from a man dancing a bit too close for his liking. I jump and have a mild panic attack when a back presses up against mine, but his smell soon invades me and I turn my face into the chin that's resting on my shoulder.
Hey, my beautiful girl.
You made me jump. He smiles.
I'm going to dirty you up.
He is. He reaches down and shifts my dress up ever so slightly and then hunkers down behind me, taking me with him. He starts slowly circling his hips, placing his palm on my lower stomach, and guiding me around with him. My rotating hips soon catch onto his tempo, and we're in sync and in time to the band, who are doing an amazing rendition of the famous track. I throw my head back on a laugh when his arm appears suspended at the side, drifting up and down as he grinds his hips into mine, our circling speeding up and slowing in unison to the beat as I'm swayed from side to side and back and forth. Kate and Sam are in a tight clinch, and Drew makes a grab for a woman who's blatantly asking for it. I place my hand over Jesse's on my stomach and let him do his thing, with no reservations and no concern for the dozens of women around us who are all suddenly well aware of Jesse's presence on the floor and have all upped their game in the dancing department. Their attempts to catch his eye will be totally in vain. It's all about me.
Oh, God, I love you,
he says in my ear, kissing my temple, then clasping my hand and sending me out on a little spin before returning me to his waiting chest. The dancers applaud, and the band kicks into Stevie Wonder's Superstition. I hear Kate squeal from behind me.
More dancing?
His eyebrow arches on a confident grin as he slowly sways me from side to side.
Drink, I plead. You can't keep up with your god, sweet temptress.
His voice is husky. We're the only ones in an embrace as everyone around us gets down to the current offering from the band. Jesse's right. They are really very good. He runs his nose up the side of my face and then circles it slowly.
Are you happy?
Deliriously. I don't hesitate. That is the easiest question I've ever had to answer. I pull him closer to me. There is too much space between us.
Then my work here is done.
He pushes his face into my neck and breathes in deeply, and I smile in pure and utter bliss as he holds me tight, cocooning me in his arms. I've never been so happy, and I know I never will be. I can deal with his past.
Your temptress is dying of thirst, I say quietly.
I feel him grin against my neck.
God forbid,
he says, releasing me under duress.
Come on, I don't want to be accused of neglecting you.
He turns me in his arms and starts guiding me from the dance floor back to the bar.
There.
He places me on my customary stool and waves Mario over, who produces my drink immediately from behind the bar, along with two bottles of water. I pick a bottle up and start swigging the water willingly before Jesse has the opportunity to demand it. He perches on the stool opposite and reaches over to straighten my diamond.
You okay?
I stifle a yawn as I nod.
Fine,
he smiles.
I'm taking you home. It's been a long day.
John walks into the bar, claps Jesse on the shoulder, and nods at me.
You good girl?
He rumbles, and I nod at him too. I've suddenly lost the power of speech. I'm absolutely exhausted.
I'm taking her home. Everything okay upstairs?
It's all good,
John confirms. He nods at me, and I'm yawning again.
I'll call for your car. Take her home.
He gets his phone out and gives a few short, precise instructions before giving Jesse the nod.
I need to see Kate, I manage to mumble through my tired state.
John performs that deep baritone laugh that reverberates through my entire being.
I think I may have just seen her disappear upstairs with Sam.
Jesse joins John in his amused state.
Do you want to go and say goodbye?
No.
I know my face is screwed up in disgust and they laugh harder.
Oh, God. Will anyone else be joining them?
Where's Drew? I frantically shake my stray, uninvited thoughts away.
Take me home.
I shudder and drop onto my tired feet. Jesse and John exchange a few words, but my brain won't allow my ears to listen. I do, however, home in on him telling John not to expect him in tomorrow, which means I'm getting my lie-in with him, and I'll be performing an Oscar-worthy hissy fit if he wakes me up with the dawn chorus and presents me with my running kit. I say goodbye to Mario and John and let my head fall onto Jesse's shoulder as he leads me out of the manor and puts me in his car before sliding in behind the wheel.
I've had the best day, I murmur dreamily, as my body molds into the cool, soft leather.
I really have, brazen hussies aside. I feel his palm fall lightly onto my thigh and circle lazily.
Baby, I've had the best day. Thank you.
What are you thanking me for? I yawn again, my eyes getting heavy.
It's me who's been spoiled and lavished with attention.
For letting me remind you, he says quietly.
I turn sleepy eyes onto him and smile, watching as he starts the car and pulls out hastily. I close my eyes and give in to my exhaustion. He's reminded me all right, and I'm so glad I let him.
"Tomorrow, we get all of your things from Kate's," he says as we drive away from the manor. "On Monday, we tell Patrick. And I think you should be letting your parents know that I'm more than just a friend."
I mumble an inaudible acknowledgement of his words. Moving in officially doesn't seem like such a concern now, but I'm mindful that Patrick and my parents might be a completely different scenario. To the outside world, Jesse might seem like a controlling tyrant, and he is to a certain extent, but he's also a whole heap of other things. I'm not sure my mum and dad will see past his obvious need to smother me and control me. They will see it as unhealthy, but is it unhealthy if you accept it? Not because you're frightened or vulnerable, but because you love them immeasurably, and the times when you want to scream with frustration and maybe even strangle them are trumped by the times like this. He's challenging, all right, and I fight him to a certain extent, but I'm not deluded enough to think that I'm the one wearing the trousers in this relationship. I know exactly why he is like this with me. I know he lives in fear of me being taken away from him, but I live with the same fear. And I'm not sure that Jesse's fear is an unreasonable one, not with my developing knowledge of his history. Chapter 24. Good morning. I open my eyes to an invasion of natural light, the erotic music from the communal room playing in the background. Jesse's handsome face is floating above mine, and he has his morning stubble. He looks delicious. I shift my arms in an attempt to grab hold of him, but they go nowhere. What the hell? His face breaks out into his dark, roguish grin, and I know immediately what he's done. I lift my eyes and find my hands are cuffed to the headboard of the bed.
"Were you planning on going somewhere?" he asks.
I return my eyes to his and find them hooded, his long lashes fanned. I should have anticipated this.
"What are you going to do?"
My morning voice is husky for more reasons than one.
"We're going to make friends," he says on a half smile. "You want to make friends, don't you?"
His eyebrows rise expectantly. "Sleepy sex?" I try feebly.
"No, not sleepy sex. I haven't thought of a name for this one yet," he says,
reaching over to the bedside table and picking up my gold satin gift bag from the anniversary dinner. I don't remember bringing that home, but then again, I don't remember bringing myself home either. He straddles his naked body over my hips and sits the bag on my stomach.
"What have we got in here, then?"
Jesse pulls out a gold vibrator.
"We don't need that."
He looks at it with disgust before tossing it over his shoulder. It lands with a thump on the bedroom floor.
"What else is in there?"
He pulls out a small box and throws that over his shoulder too, with an even more disgusted look on his face.
"We don't need those either."
"What?" I ask, but he completely ignores me and carries on rummaging through the bag. He pulls out a silver satin thong and gives it a thorough inspection, before that gets tossed over his shoulder too.
"Not lace," he mutters, returning to the bag.
I look at him in slight amusement, straddling my hips, a scowl firmly in place. He's not impressed. He pulls out a card, reads it, and scoffs before tearing it up and throwing it to join the other offenders on the floor. "What was that?" I ask, completely intrigued. He glances up at me briefly.
"Nothing you'll ever need."
"What?" A voucher for Botox, he mutters. I laugh, and he flicks me a devilish grin. Sarah definitely organized the party bags. I wish he hadn't torn it up. I would have donated it to her.
These bags are crap, he spits, before taking one last thing out and tossing the bag on the floor with the other criminal contents.
Though this looks interesting.
He holds up a black rubber ring attached to a small metal bullet-type contraption.
What the hell is that? I blurt.
He holds it up and runs his eyes over it before returning them to me. He smiles knowingly and leans forward, plumping a pillow under my head and kissing me chastely on the lips.
I want you to have a good view, he whispers, before returning to his position over my hips and lifting himself up to his knees.
He takes the black rubber loop and starts to slide it over his erection, and it all very swiftly becomes very clear.
Oh, no! If I don't get battery-operated devices, neither do you! I yell,
but he ignores me. He keeps his eyes on his hands as he rolls the loop to the base of his arousal and positions the bullet on his shaft. I huff and throw my head back onto the pillow, looking up at the ceiling.
Look at me,
he demands, but I keep my eyes firmly pointing upward. I feel the mattress sink next to my head from his fist resting in it, then his other hand clasping my jaw.
Look.
His tone dares me to disobey. He shakes my jaw lightly, and I find my eyes falling down to his. They are bright pools of green lust, and his lips are parted.
Kiss me now, Ava.
He lowers his head, and I raise mine to meet him. He attacks my mouth with urgency, delving in with his tongue and moaning in satisfaction. I know I'm going to be left panting and squirming, and there will be nothing I can do about it. His hard, animalistic kiss has my senses saturated with need for more, and just like that, he pulls away. I whimper.
You'll watch, he says, biting my lip.
Turn the music off, I buck a little in defiance. He grasps my hip bone sharply, throwing me a warning look.
Why? Are you feeling horny?
Oh, this is going to be hell. He lifts away from my face and latches onto my nipple, sucking it hard. My body arches on a moan as I close my eyes and look for somewhere to bury my face. There is nowhere.
Open,
he barks and gives my hip a dig again. My lids fly open as he moves to my other breast and mirrors his sucking, lapping, and biting, elongating my nipples to their maximum. I fight to keep my eyes from clenching shut, my legs from tensing. I want to bend them, but his lower legs are clamped on the outside of mine, preventing movement.
You're cruel,
I moan as I look up into a very satisfied stare. He's getting revenge, all right. He rises to his knees and grabs his erection with one hand, flicking the switch of the bullet-like contraption with the other. I hear the steady pulse of a vibration kick in, and his mouth parts.
Wow,
he mouths. I close my eyes for the briefest of seconds before I'm grabbed on my sensitive hip and they fly open again. I take a deep breath and run my eyes from his, down his hard chest, past his scar, and to the mass of hair at his groin. I find him slowly working himself back and forth, the muscles in his thighs tense and bulging. I cry out in desperation to touch him. Now I know how he felt, and it isn't bloody nice. I want to touch him, feel him, and I can't. I'm helpless. His fist flexes as he draws back, his moist head glistening.
This feels good, baby.
His voice is husky, and it spikes at my groin.
Do you want to help me out?
My gaze travels back up his body to his eyes.
Fuck you, I say quietly and calmly. I don't care about my blue language. It's not like he can punish me any worse than this.
Mouth. He forces the word out on a moan, and I wriggle with the cuffs.
You'll mark yourself, Ava. Stop fighting.
He hisses through a broken voice, his fist still slowly gliding over his solid length. I wriggle some more.
Still,
he barks, and suddenly his strokes are picking up speed. This is absolutely killing me, but good God, does he look incredible on his knees above me, working himself. I watch as every muscle on his chest, his arms, and his thighs tense further, and the vein in his neck jumps out.
Please, I beg. I need to touch him.
It's not nice, is it? He asks. Think of this the next time you stop me from touching you.
I will, Jesse, please let me go.
I clench my eyes shut, screaming in my head to block the loud music out.
Open your fucking eyes, Ava.
No. My head starts thrashing from side to side. This is the worst torture. I'm never going to stop him from accessing me again. Not ever. I feel his finger slide down my sex, gathering some moisture, and then spreading it, his finger surging into me harshly. My eyes fly open.
Please!
His face strains as he continues working himself.
You'll watch,
he affirms, his fist suddenly becoming faster, more urgent.
Fuck!
All of a sudden, he's moving and his knees are braced on either side of my head, his groin in my face.
Open your mouth,
he roars, and I do as I'm bid, without a second's hesitation. He braces his free hand on the headboard and pistons back and forth with his fist.
Oh, Jesus!
His head drops as he guides himself into my waiting mouth and spills himself all over my tongue, the saltiness of him sliding down my throat. I take the opportunity to wrap my lips around him and get some contact. Jesse's chest heaves as he slowly works himself down, the vibrations from the bullet traveling down his length and tickling my lips as I lick and lap at him. His cock twitches on my tongue, and I roll, lap, and suck to my heart's content, while he shakes above me, attempting to stabilize his breathing. Dragging his eyes open, he looks down at me before his body is shifting and the vibrating stops, the little ping of elastic and small thud telling me the contraption has been relegated to the floor. He cradles himself between my thighs and gazes down at me, his face thoughtful as he strokes the exposed underside of my arms. Isn't he going to let me go? The erotic tones of enigma are still flooding my hearing, and it's not helping with my pre-exploded state.
I might keep you like this forever.
He drops his lips to mine and sweeps his tongue through my mouth.
This way, I will know where you are all of the time.
I think that might be falling dangerously close to sex slave territory, I mumble into his mouth.
And that's a problem because?
Because I would like to think that you want me for more than my body.
Oh, I want you for more.
He trails his lips up my face and back down, plunging his tongue back into my mouth.
Like my wife.
What? I very nearly bite his tongue off in shock, while he continues to take my mouth, like he hasn't just said that after ejaculating into my mouth with me restrained. He eventually pulls back and looks down at my stunned face.
Marry me,
he demands softly.
You can't ask me that when I'm handcuffed to the bed.
Does someone need some sense fucked into them? He asks quietly, and then takes my lips again. I'm completely stunned. He can't fuck a yes out of me for this. I inwardly laugh because he absolutely could, and he probably would. He pulls back, drops his eyes, and sighs. That was a joke. A very bad joke. He starts chewing his lip, and the cogs start whirling in that beautiful mind of his. You completely consume me, Ava. I can't function without you. I'm totally addicted to you, baby. His voice is soft and unsure. My confident, domineering ex-playboy is nervous. You own me. Marry me. I stare up into his painfully handsome face, still in complete shock. I didn't see that coming. Not in a million years. I only really decided last night that I would move in, although Jesse and that crazy mind of his had me moved in a week ago. He's frantically chewing his lip while he watches me try to figure out what is happening. I'm 26 years old. He's 37. Why am I thinking about our age difference now? It's never mattered before. What I should be more concerned about is his challenging ways. I'm not even going to consider that he will change if I agree to marry him. He's never going to change, but that's who he is. That is part of the man I love. Okay. The whispered word falls out of my mouth without much thought at all. This is the natural progression for us. Whether he asks me now or in a year, the answer will always be the same. I want to be stuck to him forever, even with all of his challenging ways. I love him. I need him. The stunned expression that was riddling my face has now worked its way onto Jesse's, the cogs spinning so fast I'm beginning to see them smoke. Yes? He asks quietly. It's instinctive. I shrug, and then realize that I'm still handcuffed to the bed. No sense fuck required. Can you let me go now? He flies into a panic and jumps up to retrieve the key from the bedside table, making quick work of undoing the cuffs. I grasp my wrists to rub some life back into them, but I'm soon disturbed when I'm dragged up from under him and completely engulfed in his body as he squeezes me to him. Holy fucking shit. I've just agreed to marry this controlling, neurotic ex-playboy, and I've known him for a matter of weeks. Oh, God, my parents are going to burst a blood vessel. He falls back onto the bed, taking me with him, and buries his face in my neck. He has a vice grip on me, and I haven't got the heart or inclination to tell him to ease up. I'm not going anywhere. Not ever, now. I'm going to make you so happy. His voice is broken. I wriggle a little to free myself, but he keeps his face exactly where it is, so I work harder, prying myself from him until I find his eyes. They're glazed. You already make me happy. I smooth his face and wipe my thumb under his eye, collecting a stray tear. Why are you crying? I battle the quiver in my own voice. He shakes his head mildly and rubs frantic palms over his face. See what you do to me. He reaches up to clasp my face and brings it down to his, resting his forehead on mine. I can't believe you're in my life. I can't believe you're mine. You are so... so precious to me, baby. His eyes dart across my face, and his hands smooth across my cheeks, as if ensuring I'm real. You're precious to me, too, I say quietly. I hope he comprehends how precious. He's everything. My complete world. He smiles mildly. Are we friends? Always, I return his smile. Good. My work here is done.
He rolls us over so he's cradled between my thighs, and then slowly sinks into me.
Now we have sleepy celebration sex.
He reaches for the remote control and turns the music off.
I only want to hear you when you come for me.
He drops his mouth and moans as I accept his lips, and he grabs my hands, holding them above my head. He rears back and pushes forward.
That was a proposal, fuck,
I say around his mouth, feeling his smile against my lips. But he doesn't say anything, or reprimand me on my language. He just seeps in and out at the most dreamy pace, plunging deeply, swiveling his hips gently and pulling back. My earlier blissful state is recaptured as the coils reload and prepare to release, his leisurely drives and grinding hips working their usual magic on my body. He pulls back from my mouth, carrying on with his luscious thrusts.
You'll be Mrs. Ward.
His minty breath heats my face as he gazes down at me.
I will.
That will be strange.
You'll be mine forever.
I already am. That ship has long sailed. He clenches his eyes shut as I feel the hints of his imminent orgasm thumping inside me, pushing my own climax forward.
I'm going to worship you every day for the rest of my life.
He shoots forward.
Jesus! Oh, God!
I breathe, stiffening beneath him, my quivering core accelerating into fast, continuous pulsations. He pumps forward again and again, kissing me desperately and growling on his forceful grinds, keeping my hands above my head as he plunges incessantly into me. He snaps on a yell, and I wrap my legs around his hips, pulling him in closer, which pushes me into a free fall of intense trembling as lightning attacks my whole body, leaving me panting and sweating underneath him. His head drops into my neck, his breathing erratic and shallow.
I can't breathe, he says, releasing my hands.
They immediately wrap around his warm, solid back, and I liquefy under him. I feel his head lift, creeping up the side of my face until he finds my lips.
I crazy love you, baby. I'm glad we're friends.
I smile as he rolls us over and I'm astride his waist. I place my hands on his chest and he covers them with his as I lazily circle my hips on him.
I know you do. If I'm going to marry you, you have to answer some questions.
I use an assertive voice that's the equivalent of his dare-to-defy-me tone. I don't know if it will work, but it's worth a shot. His eyebrows jump up.
I do I?
Yes, you do, I say haughtily.
Come on then, spit it out. What do you want to know?
He sighs heavily and I scowl at him.
Sorry.
He has the decency to look apologetic. He keeps his hands over mine, resting on his chest. Who was that woman last night?
Coral,
he says flatly, with no hesitation, like he completely expects the question. I roll my eyes. I know her name is Coral. Who is she?
She's the wife of the nasty little fucker who got ejected from the manor the day you found the communal room.
Oh? I cast my mind back to that wretched day, and remember the snide, spiteful creature hurling harsh words at Jessie. You had an affair with her?
No.
He shakes his head on a frown.
They came to me to source someone to participate in a threesome.
I recoil slightly. He doesn't need to tell me any more than that.
You?
I whisper. He nods, almost ashamed. Why would you do that?
She asked me to.
She fell in love with you. His eyes widen a little at my conclusion. It's obvious. He shifts uncomfortably beneath me.
I guess she did.
Oh, this has opened a whole new can of further questions. I'm not so surprised that she fell in love with him. It's her surprise visit to the manor last night and the amount of time Jessie was in his office with her that I want to know about. What did she want yesterday? You were gone for a long time. He takes a deep breath and pins me with determined eyes.
She left Mike for me. I don't know why. I never gave her any reason to believe I wanted her like that.
He pauses momentarily to assess my reaction. I'm not quite sure how I feel. He sighs.
He's thrown her out, taken her car, and seized her cards. She has nothing.
She came to you for help?
Yes.
And what did you say? I'm not sure I'm going to like the answer to this question.
I said I would do what I can.
He starts chewing that bloody lip. I was right. I don't like the answer.
What can he do?
Helping her will only encourage her and fill her with hope that things could progress. I cock my head slightly. Has this got anything to do with the police? He laughs a little. I don't know why, it's not funny.
Mike's playing games. He advised the immigration police that half of my staff are illegal immigrants. It was cleared up quite quickly, no harm done. It was just a bit of an inconvenience.
Why didn't you just tell me all of this instead of letting my mind race?
He frowns. Why would I trouble you with that trivial shit?
I can see his point, but nevertheless, I should know, especially if it involves another woman wanting my challenging man. I hold his eyes as he continues to circle his thumbs over the tops of my hands. So you took part in the threesome, and that was it?
Yes.
He shifts, avoiding my eyes. You're lying to me. My teeth clench together. That wasn't it, was it?
Not exactly, no.
He shifts again, still avoiding my eyes.
Do we need to go on with this?
He asks irritably.
She was under the wrong impression that I wanted more. I didn't. End of.
So you did have an affair with her?
Yes, okay, yes, I did. But it was just sex, nothing more.
His green eyes are fierce.
Now let's drop it.
You told me once that you've never wanted to fuck a woman more than once, only me. I will never forget that comment. And as stupid as it undoubtedly sounds, given how many notches Jessie has tallied up on his bedpost because of it, I like the thought of him only having me more than once.
I never said I didn't have a woman more than once. I said I've never wanted a woman more than once. It was a means to an end, that's all. She offered it on a plate.
So you haven't only fucked me more than once? I sound hurt. How ridiculous. He was a pleasure-seeking playboy before he met me, and now I'm delving into territory that is, without doubt, going to send my jealous mind into overdrive.
Ava, watch your mouth.
No, not when we're talking about you fucking other women. You've not just fucked me more than once, have you?
He growls at me, and I scowl at him. No, I've not,
he admits, rubbing extra fast circles on my hands.
But you have to understand, none of them meant anything to me. I used them, treated them like objects. I'm not proud, but that's just the way it was. They would take me whatever way I came, Ava. They all wanted more, but they certainly never expected it. Now, though, they've seen I can be a one-woman man.
I feel slightly nauseous. This conversation was a guaranteed stomach-turner. How many of them can I expect to come seeking out my neurotic control freak? Michael's wife already has.
And now, Coral. She's still in love with you, I say quietly. That's another reason why Coral was at the manor last night. She can't have you, I say. None of them can, I add. Just so he's aware that I know there'll be more. I feel like I'm preparing for war. His eyes soften, and he half smiles. She can't. I told her that. None of them can. It's all about you. I don't want you helping Coral either. It's unfair for you to expect me to be okay with that. Ava, I can't turn my back on her. He looks truly shocked by my demand. Okay, I'll keep working for Michael then. I have no idea why I just said that. How stupid of me. The look on his face has gone from soft and reassuring to black and hard. Will I ever learn? You had better retract that statement. His chest is heaving beneath me, and his jaw tenses to snapping point. That's exactly how I feel about him helping Coral. No, I blurt, aware that I'm pushing my luck. Three, he begins. Oh, no, you don't. I go to climb off him, but his grip tightens on my hands, clenching down fiercely. Two. No, you are not giving me the countdown on this. No way, Ward. You can take your zero and shove it up your fucking arse. I fight with his grip of me, getting angrier the harder he holds me. Mouth! He flips me over so I'm face down, and he is blanketing me with his body. One. Get lost! I'm not backing down on this. Zero, baby. His fingers move straight to my hip and dig right in. Hard. I scream, being tossed into hell by his unrelenting digs. Oh, he's really going for it, and my bladder suddenly feels like a punch balloon. Okay, okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I can't bear it. He stops immediately, and I'm spun over, his body pinning me to the bed. Kiss me, he orders, leaning down a little so his lips hover over mine. I'm not doing anything until you accept you're being unfair. I can see my words sinking in, those cogs spinning as he considers my words. So I continue before he can interject. She wants to take you away from me, and I'll never let that happen. If I'm going to marry you, you have to appreciate and respect my feelings. I don't want you seeing or speaking to her. I feel pity for her, but not enough to let it impact us. And I hope you feel the same. Of course I feel the same, he sighs. Then it shouldn't be hard to fulfill my request. It won't be. I'm sorry. He rubs our noses together. I was thoughtless. I won't see her again. Forgive me. Forgiven. Kiss me. He wastes no time joining our mouths and kissing the life out of me as he hums into my mouth, a throaty sound of pure satisfaction. Tell me you love me, he demands. I love you. His green eyes twinkle and a smile tickles his lips. Tell me you'll marry me. I'll marry you. And I can't wait. Now you kiss me. His husky tone is making my head spin. I throw my hands around his neck and land him with an adoring kiss, feeling his smile under my lips as he rises from the bed with my arms wrapped around him, my thighs finding his hips and curling around. I keep my kiss up as he walks me into the bathroom and uses a free hand to peel my legs from around himself. I grumble in disgust, and he laughs. You brush your teeth. I'll start breakfast. He reaches behind his neck and peels my arms away, placing me in front of the mirror, dropping a kiss on my shoulder before slapping my arse and stalking out of the bathroom. So,
I'm getting married then? I stare at my reflection in the mirror, seeing my dark hair is a mass of ruffled waves, my eyes bright, lips pink, and cheeks flushed. I look well. I absent-mindedly grab my toothbrush and slap some paste on it, while considering how well I feel, too. I've never felt so refreshed and alive. And there is only one reason why that is, and it's called Mr. Challenging. Bloody hell. Kate's going to have kittens, and I can't even begin to think what my parents are going to make of all this. I lift my toothbrush up to my mouth and start brushing happily, flicking a stray tendril of hair from my face with my spare hand. But something catches my immediate attention. What the fucking hell is that?
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.